Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Today, we will be exploring aspects of personal power and social power and ways we can influence ourselves and ways we can influence others. Today, to share with you this topic is Wendy Palmer. Wendy is the founder of Leadership Embodiment. She holds a 6-degree black belt in Aikido and has practiced mindfulness for over 40 years. She is also the author of numerous books, including Leadership Embodiment, The Intuitive Body, The Practice of Freedom, and has just released her latest book, which I have with me here, Dragons in Power, Embodying your noble, awesome, and shiny dragon spirit. So I'll hand it over to you, Wendy. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm delighted to be able to share some of my ideas and thoughts with you around personal power and social power. And one of the things that we work with is a quick centering exercise. So we're just going to start off with that, and then I'll talk a little bit more about that. And the way we center in this view is we think of going vertical first. So as we inhale, we lengthen our spine, think up out the top of our heads. And as we exhale, let's soften our chest and think of something that makes us smile. And then for a moment, let's open up. And one way to do that is to look around the room a little bit, even reach out with your arms, imagine lights in your fingertips. And just expand. And then think of something inspiring or someone inspiring for a moment. Nice. So this is something that we can do in 20 seconds, which is about what I took you through. It can be a 5-second or even a 1-second centering. And when I'm working in businesses and in organizations, people really like something they can do quickly and easily that will change their state of being. And the way we change our state of being is by changing our muscle groups. So when we're tight and we fire flexors, we get a lot of cortisol released in our system, and that shuts down the creative part of our brain. It shuts down big picture thinking. It gives us a narrow focus, narrow attention. And that's not always the best way to be able to interact with people, to influence people, or to influence ourselves. And so when we fire extensor muscles, when we sit up and lighten up, when we open up, we get a little more testosterone, and that gives us big picture thinking, creativity, risk-taking, energy. And we all know that a lot of testosterone can be annoying. So we also want to have oxytocin in our system. That's the connector chemical. And the way we get that in this model is we think of something that makes us want to smile. So we'll just kind of do that together. And when we do that, you might even feel a little change happening, something in your system. And when we have oxytocin and testosterone in our system, it changes our brain because we get different chemicals. So we have access to big picture thinking, creativity, and we have a sense of connection, inclusiveness. So if we want to influence ourselves, we need to be able to work with certain aspects or areas. And I'm just going to, there's 6 of them in my new book, but I'm going to talk about 3: motivation, inspiration, and discipline. So how do we keep motivated? How do we keep bringing ourselves back to that sense of wanting to make a contribution? How do we keep inspired? And then what's the discipline that we can do so that we stay with it and doesn't fall apart? So one of the ways that I work with motivation is I remember that I feel more inspired and more energetic when I'm working on behalf of something, when I'm working on behalf of somebody. And so when I'm working in organizations and doing business coaching, I remind people that whatever their organization is doing, it's going to affect many people, sometimes millions of people, thousands of people. And so if they think all those people want them to succeed, then they feel a little bit more motivated to keep going. So they don't have to sense that they're doing it just by themselves. It's not a sense of isolation. I'm doing it. I'm part of something bigger. And then inspiration, we use what we euphemistically call a posse in this work. So we have inspiring archetypes that we draw upon. For some people, it's well-known people. For some people, it's things from nature. Some people use music. So I'll tell you a quick story on that that helped me develop the sense of inspiration. Is many years ago, I was asked, a phone call came in, if I would give a talk, bring some leadership embodiment work to some young leaders at NASA. And I am a doubter by nature. So one of the things that happened is I thought, I can't do it. I don't have the credentials. So I brought my posse to mind. I thought about the Dalai Lama, who's one of my inspiring quality peoples. He has this big picture, big mind. I thought about Mother Teresa, who's filled with compassion. And I thought about the founder of Aikido, O-sensei, who made me feel courageous. So I was able to say immediately, I'd be delighted. And then let's talk about details. And then after I hung up, immediately I thought, I can't do this. I don't have the credentials. So once again, I thought about these inspiring energies in people. And when I think about them, it's as if I'm bringing something through me. So that's the difference. It's not like I'm trying to find courage inside of me or compassion inside of me, which can be a bit of a struggle for me. It's as if it comes from outside me, like when I'm in the zone of the flow state, and it's flowing through me. And so I'm a conduit for it. And then of course I lose it and then it comes up again. So the third part, just to mention for now, and then I'll take some questions, is the sense of discipline. How do we keep doing it? How do we not give up? And so there's lots of ways that we can do that. I'm tied to my devices. So I set reminders on my devices. We actually have a leadership embodiment centering app that can ping us and remind us. And it's just a quick little deal. But throughout the day, I have ways to remember to center, not just when I'm tight, but just as a way of being. So walking through certain doors, I take a little moment and I uplift, I get lighter. I let myself open up a little bit. Think of something that makes me smile. It only takes 5 seconds, just a little more light, a little more open, a little more warmth. We'll talk about that more in a minute. And so before I open it up for a couple of questions, I'll tell you about our tagline and for the book, it's embodying your noble, awesome, shiny dragon. So years ago, my teacher, Satomi Sensei, was an Aikido teacher, was teaching a seminar, and he was very frustrated with the fact that we were so stiff. So he stopped us and he said, "You're so stiff." And he showed this beautiful flowing technique. And then he asked us to do it again. And then he stopped us right away. And he said, "Now you're all so sloppy." And so he said, "I want to see you're noble. I want to see you're awesome. I want to see you're shiny." And that's become our tagline. Noble is the uplifted, dignified quality in our posture. Awesome is the expansive quality, the sense of being big so we can be influential. And shiny is the sense of warmth that make people feel connected and we can influence them. So what we want to be able to do is move from our reactive self, the one that's controlling, judgmental, concerned, that part of me, called our personality, to our resourceful self, which has more sense of bigger perception, more sense of compassion, more sense of confidence. We want to be able to make that shift. And we can do it very quickly if we're not too far off. We can just invite and let's do it together. A little more noble, let's uplift, lengthen your spine. A little more awesome, expand out a little bit. And a little more shiny, think of something that makes you smile. And when you do that throughout the day, it'll change your state of being and change your percentages of how much time we're spending in reactive self. And we can spend more time in our resourceful self. So I'm going to just take a little stop here and ask Sarah if there's any questions or comments. Field a couple of those before I go on.
We did just get one. I don't think I quite understand. Can I pick a money coach and have him work through me? So that way of being like maybe working with something with a coach, can that come through?
I think the person's talking about somebody like Susie Orman. We had somebody, one of my clients used her in the posse because she felt like she was always very savvy and very hip, and it gave her more confidence in how she was dealing with it. So absolutely, anything that creates a shift in our state of being, because we want to move from what we call our personality. So personality is the part of us that organizes around creating security in our life. And we have these strategies, control of our head, approval, usually of our emotions, and safety, which is a deeper level of in our core. And so we want to be able to move from those strategies, which are actually quite exhausting. So for instance, if I'm in approval mode, I want you to like me, but not too much, but a little bit more, but not too much. It takes lots of energy to get the right amount of approval and sustain it. So if I can shift to a centered state, then I'm not so driven by approval and I can connect to these archetypes. So if it's somebody that has a feeling that they're confident in how they organize themselves financially in the world, and that gives you a sense of confidence, even briefly, absolutely. Use anything you can to shift to your more resourceful self. It's always there. It just gets eclipsed by our concerns. We're in the habit of, and our culture teaches us to worry and be concerned and self-conscious. And yet this other part of us is really incredibly resourceful, and it's not so concerned about what other people think. We're much more able to just speak our truth, and we feel connected when we're inclusive, when we're more open. Any other thoughts or questions before I move on? I guess that's so far so good.
Yes.
So let's do another little exercise together so you get a feeling for it. And then I can talk a little bit about influencing others as well. So what I'd like us to do is if everybody would just slump a little bit, cross your arms, tighten up, and think of something not too bad, just something that's irritating. Annoying. Let's think of it for a few seconds. Just kind of go into that and remember that event. Okay, let's stop because we don't want to go too far into it, but just get that feeling of, I was thinking about that whole kind of story that started. Now let's do this together. So let's inhale, lengthen your spine, uplift through the top of your head. Exhale, soften your chest. Think of something that makes you smile. Let's do it again. Inhale, lengthen the spine. Imagine you're thinking up out the top of your head. As you exhale, down, soften your chest, thinking of something that makes you smile. And then extend your arms out a little bit. Imagine lights in your fingertips. And think of the space behind you and the space in front of you and the space around you. And just connect to the space. Open up a little bit. Nice. And then think of something inspiring. Maybe a place, maybe a person. Sometimes it's an animal, makes you smile. And now let's think of that same event again. So let's relive that event. And as I relive it, I notice it's slightly different to me. So I'm just interested if anybody noticed if there was any difference as you relived the event when you had changed your state of being.
Can type experiences in the chat if you'd like. People are saying yes.
Good.
Yes.
Did anybody feel that it was a little bit further away from them? Oh, less reactive? You noticed it was good. Definitely lighter. Okay. So felt I was able to hold, yes. Oh, getting lots of good responses. Thank you. So the whole notion is that when we do this centering exercise, it actually changes our brain. It changes our perception. So we have a sense that I do react, and then I can take myself through the centering, and then I think differently about it, and I can relax a little bit. And sometimes I access a little more compassion. Yeah, it's like NLP. It has that kind of process too. And so the whole notion is, how do we start to develop and cultivate a sense of expansiveness? We call it inclusiveness. And so I've likened this part of me that I'm struggling with to a dragon. My new book is about dragons and power, because I love dragons. And it's very interesting, because dragons in medieval Europe were usually malevolent. So they would eat princesses and sit on gold and do that kind of thing. And I definitely have these qualities in me that I struggle with, that are malevolent. In the East, in Asia, dragons are benevolent. They're protectors. And they bring rainbows and water to people, and people use them to protect monasteries and things like that. So I just love the idea that I can train my dragon to be benevolent, to have benevolent power. And the way to do that is to work with it constantly. So the whole notion that we have a dragon inside of us, and I don't know about you, but I've definitely felt this out of control power that comes up and wanting to manage it. And people have been doing that for many hundreds of years. They've tried to manage themselves. And so to think of it as a dragon, and to encourage my benevolent dragon to come through, and to do that, I have a sense of size. So if I want to influence people, I need to be big. And these days, a lot of people who are big are more bullies, and definitely want to have a sense of being big and inclusive. And we want to have a feeling that we're compassionate and we're warm and we'll listen to people. But being big is really a key. Many of us walk around in a bubble. We have a bubble around us. It's our boundary. Our families get to be inside of it, but we don't necessarily get to be in, we don't put annoying people inside of it. If you go out to a store, sometimes those people are other. So the practice is to be inclusive. And when we're inclusive, people respond differently to us. I learned that from Aikido, the Japanese martial art that I do. When we train with our friends and we take turns attacking each other. And when the person attacks me, if I put up a boundary and I make them other, it's easier for them to attack. I know that if someone puts up a boundary, it's easier for me to attack. In fact, in martial arts, that's our goal, is to break the boundaries. Teenagers too. And what I've noticed from martial arts, if I make my bubble really big and include the person that's attacking me, and I have a sense of warmth, it's harder for them to get that negative energy. And I know with my teachers, when I have gone to attack them, the ones that I really have been deeply touched by, I felt as I came close to them, I felt I was drawn into this warm energy and my aggression wasn't so strong. So to be inclusive, to be big, we need to work the practice. We need to be disciplined. So I would recommend to people throughout the day, and I do this with business clients too, to get big, to include your team, include the people in the meetings. And to do that, you need to really physically extend, fire extensor muscles, reach out. And then before a meeting, reach out. If you're on a Zoom call and you're in a business situation, you don't have to do this with your arms. You can just straighten your arms, put them down by your sides. That runs energy, makes your system feel bigger. Also thinking about the space around you. I think about the space behind me, the space to the left and right, in front of me and above me. and that makes me feel more open and spacious. We're always so oriented toward things. Our culture teaches us that who we are is how we relate to the things, people, concepts. And we're not taught to relate to space. But when we're in our resilient form, we often call it the zone or the flow state. We have a sense something's coming through us. Maybe you can think about a time when you were doing an activity and you were efforting at it, and then you backed off a little bit and it became suddenly easy. That's often called being in the zone. Or the flow state, an intellectual activity where I'm working on writing and I get stuck. I'll go out, get some water, get a cup of tea, come back, and it'll start to flow. When those things happen to me, I feel like I'm part of something bigger. I feel as if something's coming through me and I'm not as solid as my culture has led me to believe. In fact, it's not good science. So this is not solid. It seems solid. Scientifically, it seems solid because it's just vibration. So from a scientific point of view, we're made up of lots and lots of atoms. And those atoms are 99.9999% space. It's amazing just to think of all the space that's in your system, all the space that's around you. Oh, it makes me feel a little more open. What makes us feel so solid from a scientific point of view is that space is vibrating. It's a wave that vibrates. And that vibration is what makes it feel solid. And we can change our perspective when we're connecting to the sense that something's coming through us. So if I take a moment and imagine myself almost like my body's a colander and there's a wind at my back and it can just flow through me. And I know from Aikido, I have so much more power when I let something flow through me rather than I try to self-generate it. When I try to self-generate it, that makes me feel like I'm efforting. And when I imagine that it's coming through me, and using archetypes really helps. So they don't have to be famous, but sometimes for courage, I also use Nelson Mandela. Or from compassion, I use this woman, Deepama, who was a spiritual teacher of mine. Wisdom, I might think of, again, the Dalai Lama, or I might think of Einstein. And when I do, it's just like, woo, my system shifts a little bit. Some people think of their pets because their pets always are happy to see them, like a dog who's always happy to see you. And that makes you light up a little bit. Sometimes a beautiful image from nature, a mountain or a beautiful lake. These kinds of things can really shift your state of being. The idea is to use our imagination to help us, because imagination can certainly mess us up. We can imagine something bad's going to happen, imagine there's a problem. Or we can imagine that we're part of something bigger, something that's shiny, something that's uplifted. So I'm going to stop here again and see if there are any comments or questions on anything I've said so far.
We do have a couple questions in the Q&A. And if you do have a question for Wendy, please put it in the Q&A and you can upvote questions.
So Allison, I can't see your whole thing. Could you talk a bit about what is it she wanted me to talk about?
Could you talk a bit about how to be around someone who does seem like to be a genuine threat to you?
Ah. So it's really a percentage game. So if somebody is toxic or negative and they feel threatening, we have to be more noble, awesome, and shiny than they are threatening. Now, we sometimes can't do that yet. But just like when we're training in a sport or we're training in martial art or training in arts, it's always developmental. And there's people that I train with, I think I can't do it yet. And there's other people that I train with where it's a struggle, but it helps me grow. So often in business organizations, people will say, what about being in a meeting where somebody has really toxic energy? And my line is the one with the most juice or the one with the most energy wins. So if my sense of noble, awesome shininess is stronger than their toxicness, I get to manage the environment. And that's why we need to build up. That's why we need to be disciplined to be able to bring that inspiration through to get stronger in our sense of flow and our inspiration. And that's just like building a muscle. No, it doesn't drain my juice at all, because it's not me that's doing it. It's coming through me. So that's the whole idea of being resilient. Before COVID, I was traveling 150,000 miles a year, teaching all the time. I'm in my mid 70s, and I wouldn't get tired because I don't have the feeling I do it. I have the feeling that it comes through me. Now, I have to have done my homework, learned about what I'm delivering, understand how to speak about it. But then once I start speaking about it, I don't feel like it's me. I'm not self-generating it, so it doesn't drain me. It just feels actually enlivening. It's only when we're feeling that we have to do it, we're responsible, it's up to us, all that stuff that our culture taught us, that makes us tired. Hopefully you've glimpsed moments where you've been in the zone of the flow state and you've actually felt something coming through you and felt the ease of it. So we want to be able to tap that throughout the day. Oh, thank you, Fiona. Any other thoughts or questions on what I've been talking about in terms of how do we change our state of being, do it quickly? The idea is not to try to figure out why there's a problem. And I think we're the only leadership development model that I know that's not based in psychology. And the thing about being based in martial arts is that you don't have a lot of time to sit around and try to figure out what went wrong. You need to be able to adjust and be creative and be inspiring and be in the flow right away. In sports, it's the same. You only have a few seconds to make the adjustment. So my idea is, why don't we do that throughout the day? Take a few seconds and just uplift a little bit, open a little bit. Think of something that makes us smile. And then we start connecting to that resourceful part of us. And then the problematic part of us doesn't have to be transformed. That's my view. And I say that because I'm an avid gardener. And when you garden, you have to put compost on the soil. And compost is shit. And if you treat it right and it enriches the soil, beautiful things can grow out of it. So, and I don't mean this in a negative way, we talk about it with humor. So my shitty little self is totally valid. I don't have to get rid of it. I just don't want to live in a compost pile. So when my reactive self comes up, I just go, oh, right. And then I acknowledge it, just like in the Aikido mat, if I flub a technique, I go, okay, I flubbed that one. And then I shift to be more flowing, more resourceful, have a bigger view. And so my theory is, let's do that in our lives. Let's do it throughout our day. Make that little shift. And then when we get stuck, that's fine. We get stuck. But try not to flatline that place. Try not to get stuck too much. Bettina Roth, there we go. Hi. And the way to do that is to make the centering fun, make it humorous, noble, awesome, shiny. Think of something that makes you smile. All of that, if you do it constantly throughout the day, it'll start to change the baseline. So we'll still be reactive. We're still going to lose it. But we don't have to spend so much time there. And we can start to identify, be familiar with the part of us that's uplifted, that's warm, that's open, resilient. If we want to influence others, we need size. We need to be big. We need that warmth, that sense of connection, because people are attracted to it. And they'll listen to us. We need resilience. So I'm going to stop here and see if there's any more questions, comments.
You did mention the self. The top question right now is curious what the other three resources of self you cover in your book are.
Okay, so the six are motivation, inspiration, discipline, big picture, knowledge and intuition. No, that's the other one. Big picture. And then we need connection. Hang on, let me have a moment. Compassion and confidence. So the personal power is motivation, inspiration, discipline, the first three, then big picture. If we have a big picture, we can develop compassion. So with compassion, big picture allows us to see it from the other person's point of view. So sometimes people are just really inappropriate. But rather than seeing them as other, when we have the big picture, we can actually imagine that we're walking around and standing behind them and looking at what they see. When I worked in the prison, I sometimes would say to the women, because sometimes the staff was really inappropriate and they would be very, very angry and resentful. And I would say, what do you think that person's childhood was like? And for a moment, they would realize that that person is so mean and inappropriate because they had a difficult childhood. People, I think, are mean and inappropriate because they're stressed or because they were treated badly. It doesn't mean I like the behavior. I don't even have to like them, but I don't want to exclude them. So the big picture is really important at realizing that people who have inappropriate behavior are just trying to keep themselves safe. That's all they're trying to do. And their strategy of being mean or inappropriate is the way to keep themselves safe. It's like what Gandhi said, I can hate what the man does. I will not hate the man. So if we want to develop that benevolence, we need that big picture. And that leads us to compassion. Doesn't mean we like it, just like good parenting. We may not like the behavior, but we want to stay loving. And then that leads to confidence, the confidence that we can go forward and we can speak our truth. We can do what needs to be done and not be so afraid all the time that somebody's going to go after us. They may or they may not, but we have confidence that we can still go forward. Any questions on that before I go read you the social power ones?
We do have some more, but maybe we can get to them after you finish this part.
Okay. So working with social power is how do we influence others? And so size, which I've been talking about, is key, not the size of your spirit biceps, but the size of your spirit. Warmth, when you're warm, when you have that kind of glow, people are attracted to it and they'll tend to listen. And when they listen, we can be more influential. Resilience, I've spoken about that too. How do we bring something through us? Don't feel that we have to self-generate all the time, but we're part of something bigger. Then we need connection, both connection to things, to ideas, and we need connection to other people. We need to have that sense that we're connected, that we're not isolated. And then we need knowledge. We need to have done our homework. We need to learn things. We need to understand things, be able to speak clearly about things. And intuition. So it's interesting. I found that working in organizations, people who are very intuitive are very kind of mysterious to people who are not, but they're definitely impressed by them. And, you know, Einstein said his whole theory of relativity came from an intuitive flash that he had. Dr. Salk, who developed the polio vaccine, said it came from an intuitive hit that he had. So intuition is really important. And we need to learn how to develop our intuition so we can separate it from our projections. Projections are intuitive hits that are colored by our fears and our desires. And intuition is a more clean sort of sense of something that goes beyond just pure logic. So I'll stop now and see if there are any questions on that.
There is one question. There are some that are unrelated, but maybe related to this one about being bigger. It sounds like, someone's asking, is it really a winning game overpowering the other? Because that sounds slightly sad.
Oh, it's not overpowering the other, it's including the other. So I'm not trying to overpower, I just want to make them part of it, part of that positive. So it's sort of like if you've ever walked in a room where somebody was really, really negative and it touched you and you suddenly felt contracted. Vice versa, the times I've been around the Dalai Lama. And yeah, he kind of overpowered my negative, but I came away feeling more soft, more open, more connected, more compassionate. So not overpowering in a negative sense. It's overpowering in the sense of inviting people to tap their higher selves, their resourceful selves, their noble, awesome, shiny self, and just bringing more of that into the room, into the environment. And like I said, on the Aikido mat, when somebody is really open and warm, it's much harder to be aggressive. So I wouldn't say that it's overpowering in a negative way at all. I think it's overpowering in a sense of we're tapping into a universal sense of benevolence.
Okay, next question. Any tips on assessing intuition when it's colored by fear and greed?
Well, that's a really, really hard one. And the idea is to get clear. And one way to get clear is to do a centering exercise. So if we're affected by fear and greed, it means we're caught up in that story, whatever that story is that's out there about something. And what we need to do is disengage from that story. And one way to disengage from this story is to take us through a centering, something that's fun or that will at least hold our attention. Depending on how triggered you are, you might need to keep the attention there for 20 seconds or even a minute. So whatever you can do to keep your attention off of the story. And I like the centering. So sometimes touching the top of my head, popping my hand up, you can try that, touch the top of your head, put your hand, press down, pop your hand up, and your energy just pops right up. So that creates a lightness. And then thinking of something that makes me smile. And I might even go through people that I love and imagine them surrounded by light and imagine them smiling. And then reaching out, expanding, imagining lights in my fingertips, anything I can do. And it's amazing how many business people really get this and like it because they realize they need to change their state of being from reactive to resourceful. So they're willing to do these little fun things, try them anyway. And if they do, they realize it changes the state. So then once you're clear and clean, then it's easier to go back and ask a question. And there's all kinds of teaching on intuition. You can do visual. You visualize something, ask a question, see if it changes sensations in your body. Some people are auditory, so they'll hear something. But the key is to be able to clear away from the story, to get into a more open, resourceful place, and then ask the intuitive question. I hope that helps.
There's a related question about that. What are tips for developing your intuition?
Oh, okay. Well, to do what's called verifiable readings. And this comes from years ago with Helen Palmer, who was an amazing intuitive Enneagram lady. But what's called verifiable readings. So what you do is you get a friend and you want to practice your intuition. So let's say that friend has a sister. And what that friend says to you is, tell me something about my sister's health. Now the friend knows about the sister's health, but you don't. So you practice to see if you can get something about the health. And then the friend gives you the feedback as accurate that wasn't accurate. And my feeling is do hundreds of them so that you start to get to know when you're developing your intuition, because you've got the feedback. I was right on that one. I was wrong on that one. I was closer on that one. You get to know yourself. You get to know how to interpret things that come up when you ask an intuitive question. So you might get sensations. You might see something. You might hear something. And you need to learn how to interpret those. And the best way to do that is what's called verifiable readings, where you ask people to ask you questions, something they know about a person or a thing, something you don't, and you can practice. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Another question is, how can you do this with business leaders? You've spoken about doing this with business leaders in a way that you don't lose them if they're on it.
Well, I bring the science in. So luckily there's lots of good science. I talk about some chemicals. I talk about my background in martial arts. I talk about how, and there's different things that you can get on the power of people who are warm, who make the connection first. So I bring all that in, a bit of science, a bit of research, some articles about influential leaders, I talk about my own experience, and those of us, those people who've trained in this model, they'll talk about that, that it's effective in sports. It's effective in martial arts. Many business leaders are connected to sports and they get it, that you need to make the shift right away and be able to be resilient and tap flow. So that's the way I get buy-in. We have a bunch of handouts. I say I've written books. I tell them about the organizations I've worked in. It's particularly good for fast-paced companies that don't want to spend a lot of time trying to sort out the problem, that just want to be able to shift to a more resourceful state. We have a technique to be better at listening. And just briefly, that comes from, in martial arts, especially the ones that I've done, the idea is the attack lands in the space, not on my body. So that makes sense to a lot of people. And then what we do is we translate it is that criticism or negative energy that comes to us lands in the space, not in our body. And then we have a whole little exercise we take people through. We encourage them to have a bowl or a bucket or something. And when somebody says something mean or inappropriate or that they don't agree with, they put it in the bucket or bowl, take a quick centering, look at it. And you remember when we did the think of something exercise in the beginning, they often see it differently and they're less reactive. So business leaders really like that. It's a little technique of how to not take things personally so they can keep their conversations going. And then we talk about the triangle a lot. So in Aikido, there's a sort of a triangle energy and a circle energy. Circle is the inclusive quality. Triangle is speaking up. And we're very clear that they need to be able to focus their energy in a triangle, not excluding people, but always including people. So we have a little diagram and handouts that show a big triangle with the opposition inside of it. And then the inspiration is like a wind at our back and how much easier it is to make your point when you have that triangular energy. And when you're not trying to convince someone, what we tell them is just, you need to speak your truth. And you're more influential when you do that. So that gives you just a little overview. Business leaders really, especially fast-paced companies, really like it. They like that there's something quick, simple, and easy that they can do to tap their resilience and their resourceful selves. Bring out their benevolent dragon.
You have more questions? Okay. I can keep going with questions if you want to keep going. Okay, the next question is, can you do this with children?
Oh, people have. I certainly done it with my children. But here's the key, if they're young particularly, or even if they're teenagers, I don't tell them to center. What I do is I tell them that I want to practice centering. And if they see me lose it, they should remind me to center. And I tell mothers to do that. And so it's really interesting, especially when I taught a parenting class years ago, there was a one that had like a four-year-old. And so she went home and did, because she couldn't remember to center. So I said, well, tell your four-year-old to remind you to center. And she came back to the next session. She said, you know, my four-year-old would pick it up to 30 seconds before I realized that I was off. Like she would, and the other mother said, can I borrow your four-year-old? Because, you know, small children and animals know before we know when we're mad, sad, glad, or afraid. And so that means it's happening in our sort of energetic system before it comes to our conscious awareness. And we could be stressed for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, as one client said, 2 years before we realized we're stressed. And our small children and animals will pick it up like that. They read it on us. So with parenting, and even if they tell you to center and you think you are centered, it won't hurt, because no one so far has ever become over-centered. If you do, you'll be the first in history to be over-centered. And so you can center anyway. And what happened to me is that my kids would see that it would really change me, and then they found their own way to do it. I couldn't tell them they should do it, because most kids don't respond to that. But by showing them, by being a model for it, they started to pick it up and find their own way.
Beautiful. The next question is, how can I be warm and open with people who try to overpower me if I have no boundaries? They can just conquer me so easily.
Oh, I hear that question a lot, and I hear you. The principles are, if they try to overpower us, whatever that, and this is the principle, I'm not saying I can always do it, but this is what we're working toward. This is the exercise. Their overpowering negative energy lands in the space, not on us. We don't have to take it so personally. And that's why we need a good, strong posse, because that posse is going to support us to keep our openness up in the face of that. And again, it comes from martial arts and it works. I promise you, I've been doing it for over 45 years. And I have guys in my school that are twice my size and half my age. And I can't, if I put up a boundary, they just totally overwhelm me. They flood me. If I open and include them and then let their attack land in the space, I can redirect it. I can move more flowing in a more flowing way with it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying we can do it right away. What I am saying is that's why we develop, like developing a muscle, to be more open, to be more inclusive in the face of low-grade threat. High-grade threat is something else. If you're fearing for your life, then the trauma people will help you. But the everyday low-grade threats of feeling doubtful, of feeling confused, of feeling irritated, of feeling somebody's being inappropriate to us, those low-grade threats are practice opportunities. Instead of putting up a stronger boundary, which only makes some people more aggressive, we open and we let it land in the space and we use our resources to feel inspired. That it's not just me, Wendy, by herself, but I'm part of something bigger. I'm part of the compassion of Mother Teresa, the big picture of the Dalai Lama, the courage of Nelson Mandela and the founder of Aikido. I have all of that resource that I can bring through me.
Lovely. Big question here. Do you have any more tips on how to bring out our noble, awesome, and shininess through Zoom? How can we dissolve the tech barrier?
Well, I've been doing a lot, and I can tell you that especially people in organizations suddenly realize that they're on Zoom like this, and that you can kind of feel it's low and it's narrow and everything, or a lot of people are sitting like this on Zoom or sitting back like this. And so just sit up. And the one way, if you're sitting on Zoom, is to be sure that your hips are higher than your knees. You need to get your hips higher than your knees. What that does is it puts you more in your skeleton. And don't lean back. If you need to, put a pillow behind you. Like right now, you can put your hands behind you, down by your low back, and just give your hips a little push. And feel how that brings you into more of this state. And then you can see that feeling is different than this feeling. If I'm sitting and talking to you like this, and we're talking and we're going through it and we're having that, it's a whole different quality. And the clients I've been working with say that when they're sitting up and they've got their hips higher than their knees, they've got their pelvis is like a bowl. And you actually want it tilted forward so that you're forward like this a little bit instead of back like this. You also don't want to be forward like this. And then they have that lightness and that warmth. It really comes across. I mean, hopefully you can see it and feel it coming across on Zoom versus this. Sitting, talking, and saying, yeah, this is really important. And it's a different quality. So it definitely comes across. It's a good practice. And you can think of just lengthening your spine. Put space between your ribs. Bring yourself forward a little bit, but also stay light and uplifted. And that's made a big difference to my clients. And they'll notice it. And some of the clients will say the meetings are different, or people will say, I look better, because it's that feeling. We're more attractive when we're warm, when we're light, when we're open. Any other questions?
The next one is, we have a lot. Any tips on how you can recover from a panic attack? I'm usually very warm and resilient, but recently was so triggered that I couldn't get out of the anxious state.
Well, hard. Panic attacks are really hard. You need good concentrations that'll hold your attention. And so you also want to be sure that your exhale is twice as long as your inhale. And then because the exhale triggers the parasympathetic nervous system, that's the calm down part of our nervous system. The inhale triggers the sympathetic nervous system. I call that our vigilant guardian, and I call the exhale our nurturing caretaker. So long breaths, and I think as I breathe down, you could maybe give it a color, or think it's just softening your breathing into the earth. And when you do take the inhale, that you're breathing up from the earth, and then a longer exhale, you can also do this. I learned this from a Qigong teacher. We call it stroking. She said to me, believe it or not, you too much, you must calm. And so it's just a little stroking, and it really feels good. It's why sometimes when people rub their legs like this, they're trying to trigger oxytocin, which is our connector calm down chemical. You can do it with your arms too. You can gently stroke your arms, stroke your chest and belly. So those are tips. And also just, you know, concentrate on something that really makes you feel warm and soft, however you can do that. Okay, I know I want to read you one quote. Maybe I'll wait to the end. That can be a tip, never mind. So Sarah, if there's any more questions, I'll take a few more. I love questions.
Okay, great. Next question. Do you have any tips for postmenopausal women dealing with getting older?
Well, that would be me. you know, there's some things that you lose and there's some things that you gain. And one of the things that centering has helped me do is relax a little bit more around stuff that I remind myself, look, you're going to lose everything. So you might as well just relax. Unless you're Egyptian, you don't get to take any of it with you, right? So working on non-attachment and reminding myself that I could just start to release things a little bit more, not be gripping so much, whether it's that sense of youth or my body is not quite as quick as it used to be. I'm a little bit slower. And then I get to enjoy having that. And I just try to look at what I've gained, which is a little more wisdom, a little more relaxation, not being in such a hurry, not feeling like I have to achieve all this stuff. So I just try to give myself a lot of positive self-talk. And I also look at models, Mother Teresa, Maya Angelou, you know, people who've gotten older, who just more relaxed into it. And I've kind of put them in my posse to remember that it's, you know, Jane Goodall, who's in her 80s, so beautiful. So I just use those people as models to realize I am getting older, and maybe I can be more helpful, more influential, because I'm not so tight around having to achieve everything. I hope that helps.
Beautiful, thank you. Can you talk more about grounding in space?
I'm going to give you a fun quote from my teacher, Trungpa Rinpoche. He was a Tibetan teacher. And this is a great quote. He said, "The bad news is we're falling through space and there's no parachute. The good news is there's no ground." So here's my thought, is we don't want to emphasize grounding. I know that's heresy, but what grounding does, it makes me heavy. And so ideally, I want my energy to be like a double helix, like a DNA strand, where there's an uplifting, and I think of it as a spiral running through me, that's the centrifugal force. In organizations, I talk about centrifugal and gravitational. With other people, I can talk about heaven and earth. That's from Aikido. So I want that up energy, that lightness, equal to the gravitational pull. So I'm nicely balanced between heaven and earth, as we say, centrifugal and gravitational. And if I think of it, I love the look of a DNA strand. And I think of it as a constant spiral. There's constantly energy spiraling up through me and constantly energy spiraling down through me. And then I can have a sense of poise or balance that I'm held nicely between the sky and the earth. And that makes me feel light and open, but stable, not heavy and grounded where I have to be heavy or a heavyweight. I actually want to be light.
Okay. This might be our last question.
Last question and then.
Okay. Do you have any tips on how to be more noble generally in life?
Posture. It's so much posture. So if you think, lengthen your spine. If you want some fun things, you can think, put little cotton balls in your imagination or clouds between your vertebrae. And what you want is that strong back, that sense of dignified back. And then you want a soft front. So the nobility, you know, a good noble was kind, but also dignified and strong. So dignity behind you, soft in front of you. I made a big cape once for a client that was made out of heavy velvet and dragged on the floor to give her confidence. When she put it on, it kind of pulled her shoulders back like this. And she felt this energy behind her and it made her look sort of queenly. And she just, because she was somebody who did this a lot, she was kind of down and heavy and slumped. And she put this cape on and it was so beautiful to see this dignified posture come. So that's the kind of noble quality, positive noble. Of a positive king or queen.
Beautiful. Thank you, Wendy. We just have a couple final announcements and then I will ask you your final tip for us. So I will share with everyone, this recording will be available for free for 48 hours, but of course you can own it forever in the Full Embodiment Conference Library if you upgrade. And we really encourage you to do that so you can digest this session and all 1,000 sessions in your own pace at your own time. Our tech host, Mark, will put those links in the chat now for you to go there. There's also a Facebook group for the Embodiment Conference. We encourage you to join that and interact with the presenters, other attendees, staff, everybody's in that Facebook group. This is also being streamed live on the Embodiment Conference Leadership Channel Facebook group, so you can check that out as well. And
my book is free for 2 days. You can go to Amazon on Kindle. I've made it free for 2 days, so go for it.
Great, thank you. And I think those are all the tips. Wendy, what is your number one top tip for us to stay embodied?
Well, I don't know about embody, but I'm going to read you my favorite quote these days. It's a quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. The atoms of our bodies are traceable to the stars that manufactured them in their cores and exploded these enriched ingredients across our galaxy billions of years ago. For this reason, we are biologically connected to every other living thing in the world. We are chemically connected to all molecules on Earth. And we are automatically connected to all the atoms in the universe. We are not figuratively, but literally stardust.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So everybody just remember when you're starting to feel stressed and tight, just think, oh, I'm stardust.
And the title of the book I saw someone ask is Dragons in Power. This is what it looks like on Amazon. And can I mention your Zoom classes, Aikido? Classes?
Sure. And there's a once a month leadership embodiment Zoom class too that's on the leadership embodiment website that's free. It's a different time zone for Asia people. And then the next month it's for European people, but you can see that on the leadership embodiment website. And then there's Aikido classes that I'm doing every week. And Sarah can tell you about that.
They are wonderful. They really they helped me get through lockdown earlier this year. They truly did. Wonderful. So it was an honor to host you today, Wendy. And thank you everyone for joining. We are coming up right on the hour. So we'll see you at our next session. On this channel, it's Heart Math. Deborah Rosman is coming up to talk about Heart Math. So
that's wonderful stuff. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you all. Wishing you many noble, awesome, shiny moments. My hands are on your back. Everybody stay noble, awesome, shiny.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, everyone, and enjoy the rest of the Embodiment Conference.